Following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, July 15th, 2024.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Elaine.
Wow, what a day. What a beautiful day it is here in Sonoma County. And, man, just listening to all the stuff that happened this weekend around the former president, the so-called assassination attempt, and all the discussion on gun violence, you know, makes you start thinking, what are we doing? Why don't we relax and just make some common sense laws and get these guns off the street? I mean, everybody's affected. And what's so interesting is the way they're talking about as if former President Trump is this martyr, when there are many, many people have been killed because of this gun violence, because of the way that we're carrying on with our laws and all that information. I mean, it was very interesting listening to Amy Goodman this morning talk about it. So there's a lot to think about it. Well, I'm really excited. You know, last week was, I don't know, there was so much technical difficulty, and then we were supposed to have Sherry Glazer on, and then that didn't happen, and then all of a sudden we had Holly Neer on, singer Holly Neer, and I want to do a wonderful shout-out for her. And because of the music and all the different things that happened, I'm going to play Holly Neer songs. I'm going to play two Holly Neer songs in honor of her. So if she's listening, Holly, thank you so much for coming forward last Monday. Well, I'm really excited. Sherry and I talked, and it turned out I was going to do a commentary today, and I was able to bring her on the line instead of doing the commentary, and I'm really excited about that. So let me give you my little introduction here. Joining me on the phone today is one of my favorite people in the entire world, Sherry Glazer. Sherry is a feminist, a comedian, an actor, and author of the book, The First Pocket Chick Anary, which she wrote with Kim Trimsrith, and they really, what a combination. They're both so funny. Well, Sherry is joining me today to talk about her life, her career, and this amazing book. In fact, I was reading the book the last few days, and I'll tell you something, it's one of the most creative books I've read in a long time. And what I found is, what's so amazing about it is the humor. You know, you need to laugh a little bit more. I mean, I believe that the world is becoming so serious. I mean, I couldn't believe about those poor people that were killed and injured at that rally, and then all the discussion again around gun violence. I mean, it's heartbreaking. Well, I have a few announcements to make, and one of the things I found out about today is that now made an announcement, the National Organization of Women, is that the month of July was designated as Disability Pride Month to mark the anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA, which was passed on July 26, 1990. Hey, Ken, July 26, that's your birthday. That's when the Disability Act, ADA, was put into place. This is the first celebration was a Disability Pride Day that year in Boston and Chicago, hosted the first Disability Pride Parade in 2004. Amazing. And they also, actually, for the Disability Month, I think it's amazing, they have a different flag. It's a beautiful, beautiful flag, and we will have it on the Women's Spaces website, www.womenspaces.com. Well, there's a very important event happening by one of my favorite people, Greg Saris. It's going to be happening at the Glazer Center, and it's called The Forgetters. It's an evening with Greg Saris, and that's going to be at the Glazer Center, 547 Mendocino Avenue in Santa Rosa. And the doors open about 5:30, and that's going to be Saturday, July 27th from 6 to 8 p.m. It looks like Mr. Saris wrote a book called The Forgetters, and that should be a very, very interesting event. So that's going to be July 27th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Glazer Center at 547 Mendocino Avenue in Santa Rosa. And as I have been announcing all month, is on August the 10th. I keep getting August and October because my granddaughter is getting married in October, and it seems that that date constantly slips in my mind. But this is going to be August 10th. The California National Organization for Women will host its annual state conference on August 10th in Santa Rosa, California. That is historic that it's going to be here in our own county. The theme for this year is Moving Forward, Igniting Change. You know, they've got a day that includes diverse speakers, a panel, workshops, and a day of activities to just inspire women to get involved. And I'm so excited because we have three confirmed speakers, and that first speaker is going to be Molly Murphy McGregor, the co-founder of the National Women's History Alliance, which was founded right here in Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, actually. And then we're going to have Dr. Kim D. Hester Williams. She's a professor at Sonoma State that's very, very well-versed in women's studies and also of our black women history. It's amazing. Amazing, amazing woman, a great speaker. I mean, between her and Molly, I mean, I already feel excited just thinking about them. And then another wonderful speaker who is what I would call a strong activist with a strong voice, and that's Madonna Feather Cruz. She's an elder advocate for the Federated Indians of Grayton Rancheria, and she will also be one of our speakers. So that is, I mean, I'm just really excited. And like I said, the theme is you're invited to attend. It's called Moving Forward, Igniting Change. Amazing, amazing. And all this information that I've given is on www.womenspaces.com. And my last announcement here is I want to remind everybody that the last Thursday of every month, Sonoma County for Palestine hosts a monthly event at the Arlene Francis Center at 99 6th Street. And that happens from 6 to 8 p.m. And this this gathering includes Middle Eastern food, following by, changing events, movies, poetry, and panels discussion. So that's going to be the last Thursday of the month. Sonoma County for Palestine at the Arlene Francis Center. Amazing, amazing. I really encourage people to go and to get educated. It's very, very important. Well, you know, like we do every Monday morning, we do a thing called Our History is Our Strength. And this has been really an interesting week when I start looking at some of the things that happened. Well, I want to do a shout out because this was a very important event, and that happened on July 14th, 1917. And that was women from the National Women's Party were arrested after picketing. They picketed the White House. And you know what the big controversy was is the fact that there was a war that was going on. You know, World War II was breaking out, and there was a lot of concern. And so the women from the National Women's Party were arrested while picketing the White House, demanding universal women's suffrage, and they were charged with obstructing traffic. And, the National Women's Party is very interesting. It was an American women's political organization formed in 1916 to fight for women's suffrage. After achieving this goal with the 1920 adoption of the 19th Amendment to the United States Constitution, the NWP advocated for other issues, including the Equal Rights Amendment. The most prominent leader of the National Women's Party was Alice Paul, and most notable event was the 1917 to 1919 Silent Centennials Vigil outside the gates of the White House. Amazing that they stood out there. They end up being waterboarded. And what's so interesting on the show on the last month, the last show of the month, we're going to have a special guest on that's going to talk about, they're going to be doing a centennial vigil on August 26th, which is National Women's History Day. So it'll be really interesting to see what they're going to be doing. I mean, it's like a recreation. And when you start thinking about what we went through as women to get the vote, to get a place at the table, and now all these rights and all the right to choose and all that other stuff is slowly but surely being taken away for us. So we really need to pay attention to that. And when the women back then stood up in front of that White House the way they did, particularly because World War One was breaking out and there was a lot of controversy around them even standing there, it was amazing. And that's why it's so important that women vote. We are standing on the shoulders of some true pioneers, and not only some true activists. I mean, they paid a big price for what ended up happening. Well, another thing that we're celebrating is on July 19th, 1848, and it lasted 2 days, was the Seneca Falls Convention, the country's first women's right convention that was held in Seneca Falls, New York. Now, that's also an interesting event that happened. The Seneca Falls Convention was the first women's rights convention. It advertised itself as a convention to discuss the social, civil, and religious condition and rights of women. Held in the Westland Chapel of the town of Seneca Falls, New York, it spanned 2 days over July 19th to July 20th, 1848. Attracting widespread attention, it was soon followed by other women's rights conventions, including the Rochester Women's Rights Convention in Rochester, New York, 2 weeks later. So this kind of, the Seneca Falls Convention was kind of like a kickoff, you know, and before you know it, 1920 came along and we were able to get the vote. And then it just seems like before you know it, they're going to say, no, women are not smart enough to vote. Now that would be really interesting, wouldn't it, ladies? Well, another thing, now let's celebrate some birthdays here. On July 15th, 1899, and she made her transition in 1990, that was Estelle Iscuego, artist. She joined her Japanese-American husband in a Wyoming internment camp during World War II. She made sketches of her experience for the War Relocation Authority established. She established what was known as the Lone Heart Mountain in 1972, chronicling her internment. What a dark thing in history to think that we interned our own citizen because of what was going on in the war. You know, there's a lot to think about, that so many things go on, you know, and happen the way they do. You have to scratch your head sometimes and ask your question, why is it so difficult, particularly for women? You know, why is it so hard? You know, why is it that our children are not as important as unborn children? You know, what is going on in our world? We have to start thinking about these things and these wars. These wars are getting us nowhere. I mean, when you look at the destruction, you know, people losing their homes, their hospitals. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't. Well, another good thing happened on July 16th. She was born in 1821, and she made her transition in 1910, and that was Mary Baker Eddy. She was the founder of the Church of Christ Scientist, an amazing woman. I mean, it was in the 1900s. It was called New Thought, and there were several organizations. Unity came forward, Science of Mind came forward, and then Mary Baker Eddy in her Church of Christ Scientist. And they believed in the power of positive thought. I mean, I think they went a little bit overboard because they didn't even want to do medicines or any of the modern things that help heal people. They felt they could go straight to God. But, you know, you need a little bit of support. But it did start the New Thought movement, you know, and an amazing, amazing contribution. And also for her to stand up and talk about some of the things she was talking about was very, very powerful, particularly when you have the clergy, because what the Science of the Mind and groups like Mary Baker Eddy really, really put forward is that most of it is self-responsibility and self-accountability. You know, you're not going to go and pray and get healed or cured just by asking some entity that you don't even see. It has a lot to do with your own inner thoughts, your own inner feelings. And it's very, very important that we understand that. You know, that's why it's so important that when I do the Women's Spaces Pledge, you know, my self-esteem doesn't depend on anything outside of me. It depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. That's explaining that inner relationship that you have with yourself as well as the universe. It's kind of a mysterious thing. I mean, I never can quite define it, but I know I kind of live in that world of positive thinking and optimism, and it really does help, particularly during these times. You know, it's easy to get into a depression. Oh, it's so horrible. Nothing's going to change. Or it's, you go the other way and say, okay, things are rough right now, but I can handle it. I look at, I appreciate everything I have around me, and now I'm going to go stand up for peace and justice. So it's kind of an inner world that Mary Baker Eddy tried to get us to understand. And the church is still operating even today. And amazing. And I myself and Ken and I, we go to Unity services every Sunday. And the whole theme is to be, have faith in yourself, have trust in a creator and a higher power, Jesus, however you choose it, to have that faith, that strong faith that I think that will get us all through. Well, there's one more person I want to say a happy birthday to, and a very important woman. I mean, I remember when I first heard about her, I was so impressed. She was born July 18th, 1908, and she made her transition in 1981. And that was Mildred Ryder, and she adopted the name of Peace Pilgrim. In 1953, a peace activist who was the first woman to walk, she actually walked the Appalachian Trail in one season, walked more than 25,000 miles promoting peace for 28 years. My God, 25,000 miles she walked for peace. You know, and then you look at the world today. I mean, how many people have been trying to bring peace forward for centuries? And it doesn't work if we don't all of a sudden sit down and say, okay, what do we need to do? How can we achieve this thing called peace? And I think the first thing we should do is just make gun regulations, for God's sakes. I mean, we're giving more and more people opportunity to hold guns. I mean, I was shocked at the end that there's a state that's trying to make it legal for people to go shopping. When you go shopping, you can walk in the supermarket with a gun. Can you imagine standing in line with somebody that's holding a gun? I mean, give me a break, folks. I mean, I think we're going a little bit too far. You know, what is this obsession with guns? You know, one of the things that really, I'm going to take a swig of water here. One of the things that really got me with the shooting of former President Trump was how people were screaming and yelling and running because they heard the gunshot. And yet some people are calling for a revolution. Are you crazy? You know, we want to have guns in our face. In a revolution, we have to work these things out. You know, the days for war are becoming passé because the weaponry is too strong. You know, what do we want to do? Just knock ourselves off the planet, off the axis, and there's no more Earth? We want to blow ourselves up? Is that our goal? I mean, please, we really have to think about these things. Well, I realize that I've just done a huge rant, but I'm feeling very frustrated, I'm sure, like most of you out there. Like, what is going on and why is this happening? And that's what I want to know. Why is it happening? What is with people that they're going to support wars, that they support guns, that they support getting rid of welfare for single mothers that need support? They want to knock off Social Security. I mean, come on. You know, what are we doing? We need to really start thinking about these things. You know, I want to make sure I'm not the only one that feels this way. You know, we have to stand up for our freedom, for our rights, and to take care of each other. That's what it's all about. That's what Medicare, Medi-Cal, Social Security, we pay into Social Security, we pay into Medicare. So in our older age, we'll be taken care of. You know, I'm 84. When I think of the fact maybe losing Social Security, that is very frightening to me. Very frightening, and I'm sure it's frightening to many other people. So we really have to start thinking about what we want. And, you know, right now an election is coming up, and the most important thing that we can do is vote. And you need to vote for life. All life. All life. And life includes all these wonderful things like Medicare, food stamps. You know, there's this report called the 2025 report from the Heritage Foundation. I haven't read it all, but I've looked at certain parts of it. And they actually want to cut free lunches for children. I mean, what is going on? What do they want to do with the money? Just put it in their pocket and have wars? I mean, there's a lot to think about. Well, we're going to take a musical break, and then we're going to get Sherry Glazer on the phone. Sherry's a feminist, a comedian, an actor, an author of the book The First Pocket Chictionary. I just love that, which she wrote with Kim Tripp Smith. And also, like I said at the beginning of the show, a big shout out to Holly Neer for being on last week, and we're going to play one of her songs. Before we bring Sherry on, we're going to play two songs by Holly Neer, actually. But this is the first one called Singing for Our Lives. And then when we come back, Ken, we will have Sherry on the line. And I'm looking forward to this interview. Go ahead. Let's play that song. Yes, we are singing for our lives. I mean, when we hear the news and we hear what's going on, I mean, life is very precious. You know, the older you get, the more you realize how important each day is and how wonderful it is to be alive, you know. But we need quality, a good life. Anyway, for you folks just joining, I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, its board of directors, its members, and Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And without further ado, I want to introduce my date for the evening or the morning, Sherry Glazer. Welcome, Sherry. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you, Elaine. It's nice to be here.
Oh, it's wonderful. And like I love that you said that we had a date. So, Sherry, before we start, is it okay if I tell folks just a little bit about you?
Yes, that would be great for those who don't know about my reputation.
Sherry Glazer is an award-winning star and author of the longest-running one-woman show off-Broadway history, Family Secrets. And I had the pleasure of seeing it. It's one of the funniest plays that I have ever seen. It was just wonderful. Her other solo works include Oh My Godness, Taking the High Road, and The Adventures of Super Activist Mother. Sherry is a published author, radio host, and radical political activist known for her breast, not bombs. And I got to tell you something. I saw a picture, Sherry. You have beautiful breasts. Sherry lives in Sonoma County and is presently teaching improvisation, a series called Playing the Game of Life. She is also producing and developing a theatrical series for Making Women Monologues called Herstory in the Making. She's got a big mouth. Well, no, I think you have a beautiful mouth. You can find out more about her at www.sherryglazer.net. And another thing that Sherry does rather well, and I think we're going to talk about this at the second half of the show, Terry Glazer is also a wonderful, wonderful tarot reading. So any other things that you would like to add, Sherry, to what we just said?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about, you know, my latest book, Mama's First Pocket Dictionary, Taking the Dick Out of the Dictionary, A Bridge to the Feminine Paradigm, is my effort to shift the paradigm from the patriarchy to the feminine. So I respell all the words interrupted and hijacked by the patriarchal domination of the language. And I have a show that I've done called Intro to Herstory 101, and where I spell it all out. So just that's available at Barnes & Noble. We're going to talk a little bit about that, yeah?
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that. But before we get into that, you know, I'm so interested to find out, you know, you've produced and performed so many amazing plays. I mean, Oh My Goddess, which I saw 2 times. And the characters are so funny and yet so insightful. You know, you're laughing at the same time, but you want to cry because of the truth that's coming out. So tell us, where did you start and where did you get your confidence? I mean, you have such a full personality. Where did you get your confidence to go on the stage and do what you've done?
Well, that's a hard question. I have a gift. So, you know, I just followed my will and started doing improvisation back in college just to express these different aspects of myself, my characters, you know, you talked about being an optimist. Well, I am too. And it's my optimism that gives me insight to humor. Because I find that being funny is a bridge to people. Like, you can't yell at people. You know, the peace movement can't be yelling. It's the same energy. So I find that I can make connections and find common ground through comedy. And it was actually Greg Howells, my husband, eventual husband, who inspired me. He said, You have a talent like Sarah Bernhardt. You have a unique place in this world, and you need to get on the stage by yourself, because I was in a group. And he, I guess, gave me the confidence, if I could pick one thing.
Well, you know, it's interesting to say that. You know, I always like to say behind every great woman is a man. You know, they say behind every great man is a woman. I say, no, behind every great woman is a man. And that kind of still makes it a little bit solid. But, you know, in your performance, you know, one of the things I was thinking about, you know, I'm trying to lighten up this show today. And I really appreciate, you know, we had a little mix up last week. And it's just like the great spirit is just working in our lives, that everything happened exactly the way it's supposed to him. That's our optimism. You know, we both feel bad for a moment, and then all of a sudden we recognize, no, this is the way it's supposed to be, and here we are today. So one of your performers is when you go into Oh My Goddess, there's this one character you have of Ma, and Ma is so opinionated and has so many great acclimate, so to speak. So I was thinking, what would Ma say about today's life, today's world? You know, we just had an assassination attempt. We got all this rigmarole around gun violence, wars. You know, I mean, this is the craziest time I've ever lived in my life, to be honest with you. So what would Ma say? What kind of advice would she give all of us?
Well, first of all, you have to understand who she is. Like, for people who haven't seen Oh My Goddess, I play the great Earth Mother, the great mother of us all, who birthed the universe, because according to the Bible, you know, it was just God. It was the Father who gave birth. And that struck me as incorrect. So the premise for that character is the truth that life comes from the mother. The mother is the source of all things. And the father, like you say, either supports or puts in some sperm. But it is through her that we are alive and sustain. And no matter what we seem to do to Mother Earth, she gives. And so as far as, you know, what she does in Oh My Goddess is lend comfort and logic to the audience, like, how is it possible to have a father without a mother? And as far as war goes, it hurts her. She's very hurt. I mean, it's not just the people who die. It's the animals and the trees and the water and the air. And it's very painful for her. And we don't really consider Mother Earth a sentient being, which is very arrogant, because she's alive. She's the only reason there's life, is the Mother Earth. And what she would say is, your father lets you play with guns and bombs and missiles? Not in my house. Not in my house. You're upset. You use your words. And what are you fighting over? Oh, I don't want to hear who started it. I don't care. You don't have to kill each other. You're gonna die. I promise. No, that's really where she's coming from.
Oh, she's amazing.
She's amazing. She's just true. But you are a mother, and you had a baby. You are sacred. You are, you know, it's just that we don't even take a second to think where we're walking all over her. We don't even stop and say thank you. It's just very, it's something we have to go through. It is. It's like the patriarchy's been around for almost 10,000 years, and according to Ma, that's just a phase. It is going to pass. Unfortunately, it's going to hurt.
Well, it does. It hurts, you know, especially one of my beliefs is as long as there's one child in danger, all children are in danger, you know. And you have two beautiful daughters. You know, I have a beautiful daughter. You know, she gave me two grandchildren. Now I'm a great-grandmother. And I look at these young people watching them grow up, and I think to myself, my God, stop it. You know, like, I'm with Ma. Like, just what? You're going to play with guns in my house? Get the heck out of here. You know, I mean, I see that very good. Well, I love that character. And there was another character, and I think his name was it Ramon? I forgot what his name was.
That was Miguel. Miguel de Cervantes.
Miguel, right. What was Miguel? Where did Miguel come from? I mean, he another fascinating. When you change into Miguel, it's like you become a whole different human being. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, of course, that's your skill. But even with the skill, when you all of a sudden see it, it's just mesmerizing. So tell me a little bit. How did you come up with him, and what would he have to say about today's world?
Miguel. Miguel was born in San Diego when I was working for Western Union, and I came from New York where my father he was racist, you know, he had his prejudices, and he would tell me that, you know, Mexicans were lazy, and I was working in San Diego, Western Union, and every day the campesinos, the farm workers would come in from the fields toiling all day and send money home. And I'm like, wait a second. This is what? They're like the most devoted, hardworking, dedicated. I mean, we would not eat without them. And so I created Miguel as to break the stereotype and treat him like a god. And he, in fact, became the vessel, the channel for the Great Mother to come through. And he has to clean out his chakras first, because he's caught up in the, you know, in the stereotypical world. So I just take him through a chakra cleansing, which is very funny. And then he, at this point in his career, he's running for president. He started running for president in 2016, actually. And so his lawn sign has changed from Miguel for President 2016, now crossed out to 2020, and now it's Miguel for President 2024. So he has a very good platform, and he says, I am not running with the Republican Party or the Democratic Party or the Independent Party or the Green Party. I'm running with the Surprise Party. That's the 99%.
Oh, my goodness. Surprise party.
Yes, surprise party. And he has this agenda that he can just, like, solve everything. Like, for instance, you know how this Constitution says you have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I'm going to take out the pursuit because that's what's driving us crazy. You know, it's like you have the right to life, liberty, and happiness. That's it, not the pursuit. It's the pursuit that's killing everybody because the pursuit is caught up in money. And like Ma says, money shmoney, you have your health, you have everything. You know, it's this, I think what my show, Oh My Goddess, does is reframe your reference. Like, where we're all coming from the idea that there's three major religions and they all run by the Father. And I'm coming from, there's one earth, one world, there's a planet, and it's common ground. We all have this in common. And we're so splintered. We're so shattered. All the people we were, you know, allies with aren't anymore, whether it was because of Trump or because of COVID. And now people are saying, you know, some comedians are saying Biden's too old, and now they're splitting. I mean, I've never seen, like you said, a time where we were so against each other.
Well, and you know,
it's very sad.
Let's hold that thought for a minute because I want to make sure that I want to get into the book here. The book, you know, when I remember when you and Kim first emailed me about the book, and I thought, oh, really? And then I said, okay, I'm gonna order it. And I said, I got to order it for my friends, right? And then I got the book, and I've never laughed so hard in my life, and I've never learned so much information. You know, one of the things that is so funny, what you do with words, and I wanted to find out how you and Kim came up with this idea, but there's this one, it's kingdom, and you go into, you call it queendom. You know, and I just love that. It's just too popular belief. There have been plenty of queens that have ruled down through the ages. Not even history has been able to erase them. So I thought that's right. You know, there should be not just kingdom, but queendom. So talk a little bit about the book. What inspired you, and how did you and Kim manage to work together? Because you're both such great personalities. What happened? Talk a little bit about that and how people can get a hold of it.
Well, I was living with Kim back in 2018, and I was just getting Oh My Goddess back on stage. I was in Berkeley at the Marsh, and COVID hit, and all the theaters shut down. And I'm like, what? This is my life. What do I do? So I'm always going to create something. So when we were living together, we'd run into words where they was all men in them, like menstruation and menopause. And we're like, what? We've been saying these words all of our lives, and we never stopped to listen to what we're saying.
I never thought of that one, menopause. Oh, my goodness.
Hymen. I mean, come on. Enough already. So we decided that we could find a word that sounded enough like the word, but if you respell it, you get the resonance. It rings a bell. And that's really important for creation and power, to have language that resonates who you are and how you want to see the world. And because the world in English is dominated, there it is again, we, as the feminine, and men have feminine nature too, can't create the world that we envision because we don't have the language. So when you have a word like menstruation and menopause, it's so easy to say moonopause and moonstruation. It's from, we're connected to the moon, and that's where, that's pretty much what rules our cycle. So changes from men to moon. And the more you look at the words, like the word her, right? H-E-R. Why is there an E there? It's he with an R. So it sounds more like her. It's a U. And U is the most feminine of letters because it's so open, like womb, like wide open. So we changed her, H-E-R, to H-U-R. Now say her with the U. Say her. Her. Feel that?
Very.
And instead of saying Shiro, which is still he, we change it to Huro. You're my Huro. And the word she has he in it, too. And we're like, what the heck? So we changed that to S-H-I, like chi, like your power center, your chi. So chi is my Huro. When you say that, you get the feeling of the, what you're saying. You're actually aligning with your, with what you're saying. That's pretty important.
You know, when you talk about words, I went into, you know, I asked the computer, can you give me a definition of chictionary? It's not in the dictionary. We got to get it in the dictionary. And I love what you said. You said bringing the dick out of dictionary, a bridge to the feminine paradigm. Amazing. It really is. What was your favorite word that you worked on?
Well, they come to me. Like, okay, son and daughter. Okay, son is obviously the sun. It's easy to spell. It's very obvious image. And daughter, D-A-U-G-H-T-E-R. What is that? Daughter. I mean, no. So we changed that to D-W-A-T-E-R, daughter. Son and daughter. That's pretty. That rings my bell.
Oh, that was amazing. That was amazing. Well, you know, we're going to take a quick musical break, if that's okay with you. And one of the things we talked about is that on the second part of the show that you might give us a little bit of information about your tarot reading and what you're doing. Is that okay when we go to the next part, or would you like to continue with the talk about the chictionary?
Well, let's talk about tarot, and I'll throw in a couple more ideas about the dictionary. I can do it. It's all connected.
Okay, so let's go ahead and take last week when we had the technical difficulty, you know, Holly Neer was so blessed to, she came on the air. It was just amazing, an amazing interview. And so what I decided to do was play two of her songs. And now, right now, we're going to play the song, The Woman in Your Life, sung by Holly Neer. And that's also our theme song. And I thought it'd be wonderful to hear. We'll just play half of it, Ken. And when we return, we will be continuing our conversation with, one of my favorite people in the whole world, comedian, actress, author of the Chictionary. I mean, I just love that. It's just amazing. When I first got the book, I mean, I laughed so hard, it felt so good, I couldn't believe it. So let's go ahead, Ken, let's go ahead and play that song, and then we'll get back and continue this wonderful, wonderful conversation with Sherry Glazer.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you. The woman in your life knows simply what is true. She knows a simple way you whole now. The woman in your life, she can touch so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you. And who knows more about your story, about your struggles in the world? She's trying to come through, a woman's voice with messages, a woman's feeling.
Yes, a woman voice is necessary. And we have one on the line with me is Sherry Glazer. Welcome back to Women's Spaces. This is a true voice, a true women's voice. Thank you so much again, Sherry, for being on the show. And let's talk about when did you start when did you start becoming a tarot reader? That was something I discovered all of a sudden. I said, oh, my God, Sherry DeGlazier is a tarot reader. When did that all begin?
Well, I've been reading tarot since 1978 when I moved to California, but not professionally, just for me. As I look at my journals, I can see all my readings in there. But, again, pandemic. I got a job at a little witch's shop in Mendocino when I moved back there, and everyone was super interested. Like, three-card read, right at the counter, here you go. And I thought, oh, this is fun. This is really fun to help people, because the oracle is just so helpful when you're just lost and you need to feel better and not be going to therapy every single week for 10 years. This is like now. So I started doing it, and then I moved up to Washington here, Arlington, Washington. And there's so many witches up here. Amazing. And there's all kinds of markets and places where you can just go and read. And so that's my livelihood. It's fantastic.
What do you feel is useful about the tarot? What do you find useful about it?
Well, the truth is, fact is, that it's earth, water, fire, air. That's what we are. You know, and to be able to look at your own elements, elemental, my dear, and balance out, you know, what's going on with you is so important. Like, the ability to be angry, to feel anger, which is appropriate, as long as you direct it to what you're angry about and it doesn't leak out onto everybody you love and care about, is ways to... Tarot gives us ways to harness the energy of the elements and deal with our story. Because life is just a story, really. We have these conditions, and then personally, it's once upon a time. And people don't recognize their lives as just a story. It's more of a drama. And there's drama, and there's tragedy, and there's comedy, and people need to understand the difference. Like, tragedy is real, and you cannot deny that it's tragic. It happens. Drama is something when you walk into a scene, so to speak, with your feelings and get your feelings all over everybody and get yourself caught up in the story. Comedy is when you sit back and go, oh, yeah, I get it. Or, oh, this is funny. I know, I've done this. I've seen myself in this position before, where you have a sense of humor, which is missing as an endangered species right now. So for me, tarot is deeper and cheaper than therapy.
Well, you know, it's interesting when you talk about, you know, comedy. All of a sudden you look at your life and you start thinking about it, and sometimes you just have to laugh. You have to ask yourself, how did I get into that? Why did I do that? And this is ridiculous. And you just start laughing at yourself, and it actually feels good.
Yeah, it feels good.
Yeah, it feels good.
Taika Waititi, he's a New Zealand director. He did a movie about Hitler, where he plays Hitler as an insecure companion of a little boy. It's a brilliant movie. I think it's called Run, Rabbit, Run. Or rather, anyway, he could even take somebody as deadly, tragic as Hitler and laugh at him. And when you laugh at something, it's a powerful thing. And we were talking about, the peace movement is so serious and so angry all the time. The left is as angry as the right is, as far as I can tell, watching them on Twitter be cruel to each other. And that's not a way to peace. And for me, the tarot is a way to peace, because you are owning what you're doing here. What are you contributing? And I think that war is pretty much internal. I mean, how do we treat ourselves? What are we saying in that inner self, that mind that talks to us all day? You know, what is it's a war. And until we learn how to make peace inside, then we're still going to have to learn the hard way.
Well, you know, it brings to mind a story, a story that I had. But one time I was a motivational speaker, and I get hired to go to these different, like, secretarial associations and stuff like that to give a speech. And I would do this thing called successful thinking, successful living. And this one woman, she was the first person to come up, wanted a question. I mean, I felt like fire was coming out of her nose. And the first question she asked me, she says, well, if life is so positive, how come we have all these wars and all this other stuff? And I went into another dimension. And when I came back afterwards, I said to her, I said, I don't know where this came from, but all I can think of is all wars are a manifestation of our own self-hate. And until we learn to love ourselves, we're never going to be able to love anybody else. And she just sat down. She never said another word to me. But that was a real revelation for me, you know, about how important self-love is and how important it is to love yourself, to laugh at yourself so you can contribute. Well, you know, we're coming, it's 11:50 now, so time is going by very quickly, and I was going to ask you to pull a card, but I also know you have an event coming up, so I'd like to be able to make sure that we have enough time to talk about that. So how would you like to pull a card, or would you like to talk about the event?
Yeah, let's pull a card. So it's difficult to read for an entire movement, but we're going to try. So I have the cards right here, and the cards have been listening to our conversation. And so, Elaine, I'm going to ask you to frame the question that you want answered. And what I want you to do is relax. Really just relax your feet, relax your heart, relax your shoulders, which is a real key thing to mental health. And there it is, mental, M-E-N, mental health. Anyway, relax, and I want you to say your question, and then you're going to say the truth is, and cut, and I'll pick the card.
Okay. My question is what more can women do right now?
What
they can do for peace. What do women need to do for peace more right now? That's the question.
Now take a breath and say, the truth is.
The truth is.
And when you feel the urge, say cut. You got to tell me when to cut.
Go ahead and cut. Take the card.
This is the world. The card. This is the last card in the deck. The world. And it's this beautiful laurel wreath. With a woman standing in the middle of it, balanced on one foot, wrapped in a purple robe. And she's surrounded by earth, water, fire, and air. And she's in the cosmos. So this is the last card in the deck. And the world is heavy. It's very heavy, especially now with all this pain and suffering. So one of the things that women can do, and men, is feel it. Feel it at all. Feel the depth of what's going on. If we had an emotional reaction, not words, like, we could change things. Like, if I have this dream of women walking, weeping, wailing, and walking and weaving a web of wisdom around Washington and the million men who mean well, it's kind of like that. Like, if we all wept, and because words aren't doing it anymore, That's why the dictionary is so important. It's like, what are we talking about? We don't even know. We don't even know what's coming out of our mouth.
Well, you know, it's interesting. So, I had the vision when you said you picked the world, I thought, oh my God, I can't believe of all cards to pick the world, because that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a global issue here. And also and to say about women need to weep more, you know, to let their feelings out more.
Right, and to also allow their rage to feel their anger but not act on it. You need that fire, and you need your clarity, your air, your clarity of mind, and your genius and muse, and ask for inspiration, and you need your earth. You got to love the earth, love every little precious moment. Like, Michael Franti has a song called Enjoy Every Second, and it's just so good. And it really comes down to the second and the moments. And the biggest message of the world card is look up. Look up at the stars and all the planets and galaxies and universes out there. This is so little. This is so small.
Sherry, we're coming to the end of our segment. Real quickly, where is your performance going to be?
Oh, it's in Mendo. It's in Little River. It's Spirit Camp. It's August 14th, if you're in Mendocino. It's for the family. It's for my Mendocino tribe who haven't seen me in a long time. It's not a big deal. It's just one night, August 14th.
Can you give us your email, how people can get a hold of you? And I want people to know that I will be announcing where your show is. You'll send me a flyer, and I will put it on our website and make sure that people know, and also on Facebook. Okay. It's going to be August 14th in Mendocino. So give us your website real quickly, and real quickly, last words.
My website is www.sherryglazer.net, and you can get the Chictionary at barnesandnoble.com. And my final words are, lighten up, lighten up, enjoy what you have. It's precious time. Enjoy the people, enjoy the food, enjoy your body, you know, just take a moment and just relax.
Well, everybody, I want to thank Sherry Glazer for being such a great, great guest. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time. She can wait so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life, the woman in your life, the woman in your life is you. The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, July 15th, 2024.